Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word. We thank you for the gathering of the saints this morning. We thank you because we are here to be fed with your word, and you will cause us to be filled with the knowledge of your word. We ask that you will cause every eyes here this morning to see what you are showing us. You will cause every ear this morning to hear what you are telling us. You will cause every heart this morning to receive the understanding of your word. We ask that we will grow further this morning in conviction, in assurance of the reality that we have in your Son Jesus Christ, especially the reality of our right and privileges in you, in Christ. We will know the power that is at work in us, in your church. We will yield to that power. We will give ourselves more in yieldedness to the strength that you have supplied in us at the new birth. Lord, we ask that this morning there will be no error in our understanding, just as there's no error in our teaching. And everything that needs to be heard will be heard. Everything that needs to be said will be said. And everything that needs to be understood will be understood. We ask for revelation in the name of Jesus. We ask for sight and sound in the name of Jesus. We ask for clarity in the name of Jesus. And we receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Alright, praise the Lord. Okay, so we have been looking at the subject of the believer's authority. I will just continue from there this morning. And then I seek to after, and then most likely Sunday, then we'll take a pause. I will look at some other emphases as we run to the close or close to the end of the season of the year. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 is being our text. Last we took some time on 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But Ephesians 6 has been our reference point. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Ephesians 6 verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Say, I am strong in the Lord. He says, and in the power of his might. How? By putting on, verse 7, the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. So you ask the question, what is the armor of God? Hallelujah. He says, finally. And I've explained that word finally to you, that it does not mean, you know, it's not a conclusive term. Rather, it's an instructive term. Let me put it that way. Paul is giving an instruction based on the things that he has taught earlier. Are we together, church? So he says, finally, my brethren. That finally, you said, can be translated as upon this, in view of this. Hallelujah. Or something like, so therefore. So he says, be strong in the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, we took time to look into certain words, we saw certain words. We saw that word, be strong. It's all remind me of what that word is again. The word endunamu. Hallelujah. Endunamu. E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O-O. Endunamu. We said it means to put on strength. Hallelujah. So it's a responsibility term. The believer in Christ has the responsibility to put on strength. Praise the Lord. You have the responsibility to do what? See, I have the responsibility to put on strength. Look at what he calls it. He says the armor of God. Now, when you have armor, he says that means there is a fight. Or, better put, or precisely put, a warfare. So there is a warfare. Someone say there's a warfare. We said that already. A warfare that has to do with the preaching of the gospel. So we see the believer's authority. A warfare that has to do with the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. A warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If I Paul in verse 3, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So we are at war. But he says, our war, hallelujah, is in the flesh. He says, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare. So there's a warfare. Hallelujah. We said that the most stupid thing that can happen to a believer or a soldier, let me put it that way, is to be at the war front and the soldier does not know. Then he's going to suffer casualty. You have a soldier in the warfare and then he doesn't know. So he's not ready. He doesn't have his artillery. Let's go suffer casualty. He leaves survivor to chance. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. Hallelujah. He says the weapon of our warfare. And it's not too early to begin. It means those words again. The word warfare. The word stratio. Hallelujah. Don't forget the word stratio. Stratia. Stratioma. Remember? You remember? Ha. The word warfare. Hallelujah. Stratio. Stratioma. We saw some words weeks ago used by the apostles. We saw words like fight. We saw words contend. And these apostles were explaining what we call the Christian walk. We saw the word run, race. Hebrews 12. We saw the word strive. 1 Corinthians 9. We saw the word resist. 1 Peter 5. Hallelujah. We saw the word labor. Are we together? Labor. We saw words like conflict. Amen. Labor. We saw conflict. Philippians 1. Conflict. So we said just like Joshua and the sons of Israel, or the children of Israel, in the Old Testament, we said, there is also a war today. Hallelujah. A contention, or contend, or to contend. A fight. Someone say fight. Hallelujah. Someone say fight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if Paul says to fight, If Paul says in Ephesians 6 to be strong, which actually means to fight, which means to stand your ground, which means to take authority. We said that Paul was saying to make a big deal of who you are in Christ. You remember? To be loud on it. See, I am loud on who I am in Christ. Who are you in Christ? You are the strong man. Are we together? If you're in Africa, that should make sense to you. Say, strong man of your father's house. I am that strong man. Are we together? Are we together? He said, every strong man of your father's house. Well, I am that strong man. And my father is God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So, we have an instruction to fight. But look at it, this, we don't fight people. We fight the forces of evil. Praise the Lord. Did you get the church? In Ephesians 2:10, it says we are the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus, created unto good works which God had ordained that we should walk in them. Before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. So it says we are the workmanship of God, created unto good works. Now Paul goes ahead, explains those good works. He says it contains or includes a fight. Hallelujah. That means that in the believer, are we together? In the believer is a supply of the ability of God in view of a successful fight. What do you call that? It means you were made fit and ready. See, I'm made fit and ready. That's it. That means by nature, the believer is an unsurmountable creature. Hallelujah. That means by nature, by virtue of your source and your birth in Christ, by virtue of what indwells you in Christ, it means you are born a triumphant one. Are we together, church? So God did not create the new creation and then discovered there is a fight. No, the new creation was built, hallelujah, in view of it. Is it clear, church? Did you get the picture I'm painting? Did you get the picture I'm painting? God did not have him create the new creation or brought forth the new creation. He now discovered that, oh, there's a fight. No. The man in Christ was built up for the purposes of God by the Spirit. Someone say, by the Spirit. Someone say, by the Spirit. That's it. It says in Ephesians 1 again that there's an exceeding working, exceeding greatness of God's mighty power working in the believer. There is the exceeding greatness of God's mighty power. The word is kratos. It is for a military reinforcement. So the believer has been reinforced by God. Hallelujah. By the Spirit. I hope you are not asleep. Hallelujah. The believer has been what? Reinforced. I've been reinforced. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 10, he describes certain things, which we saw last week. He says, the weapon of our warfare, the weapons of our warfare, are not in the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We saw the word mighty there is the word dunatos, which means possible. That means our possibilities is because of God, or our possibilities is in God. Glory to God. He says, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. We saw that word casting down, the word katerio, which means to pull down, to take down. Hallelujah. To reduce, to level down. It says casting down imaginations. Hallelujah. That word imaginations. So that word imaginations, what did we call it, church? What did we call imaginations? Oh? What did we call imaginations? It says casting down imaginations. What did we call imaginations? Logismos. What did we call logismos? Ideologies. So we said our warfare primarily is with ideologies. What kind of ideologies? He says, casting imaginations in every eye thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, so he's talking about philosophies, methodologies, and ideologies that has raised itself up, he says, against the knowledge of God, hiding the word hupsoma from hupso. He calls them strongholds. Hallelujah. Uchuruma, from the word echo, which refers to fortress. We saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then in verse 6, or verse 3, where Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He says, in ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Do well to look into your Bibles, please. That is more appropriate. Hallelujah. So in verse 6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. So what did we say? He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So we said, the devil or Satan or the God of this world has power on the minds of the unbelieving ones. Or put differently, the strength of the God of this world is in the minds of unbelievers, or the mind of man. The strength of the God of this world is all in the mind. Ideologies, thought patterns, thinking process. In the thinking process of the unsaved man is where the devil has power. So the devil, Satan, will be stripped of his power as we do what? As the light of the gospel shines on the heart of that man. The way to strip the enemy of his power, the way to strip the enemy of his strength is by doing what? Is by targeting the thinking process of people. So here comes our warfare. It is not against people. It's against ideologies through which the enemy has held men bound in darkness. I showed you last week that the Bible itself opens up with the story of a warfare, the story of two kingdoms, the light and darkness, the light of God, which is the intelligence of God. He calls that light the plan of salvation, the family and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Hallelujah. He says, it was without form and void, and darkness on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Hallelujah. God said, light be. So the Bible opens up with the story of warfare. God's light overcoming darkness, restoring order, peace, sanity, healing, hallelujah, to the chaos of the world. He says the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. That is through the message of the prophets contained in the scriptures as we have it today. God will bring light to the darkness of the world. God will bring healing to the chaos of this world. Hallelujah. So we see that battle. We see that warfare between light and darkness. And darkness will be an intelligence. He told that woman, he says, in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, thou shalt surely die. Hallelujah. Sorry. Of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, thou shalt surely die. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 15, the Bible makes us understand that after Eve ate of that fruit in Eden, you see, the eyes were open. It's an intelligence. So we said darkness is an intelligence. Darkness is an intelligence of its own. And the light of God is also an intelligence. Look at what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8 and chapter 9. Jesus kept on mentioning, kept on teaching, and affirming the authority of light over darkness. In John's Gospel, chapter 5, hallelujah. In John's Gospel, chapter 5, in verse 24, he says, verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. He said before then, in chapter 3, he calls that light and death, he calls it darkness. He calls that life and death, he calls it darkness and light. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, and then in verse 18, he that believes on me, he says, on him that is not condemned, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. He says, because he believed not on the name, or he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into darkness, into the world rather. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. He says they love darkness rather than light. So the battle of life over death is the battle of light over darkness. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God's wisdom over the works of the enemy, over sin and death. God's wisdom over sin and destruction. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 8 and then in verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In John chapter 9 in verse 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Glory to God. I say glory to God. A light which must be believed. Because concerning that man, if you look at verse 33 and 34 and 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, the same man he healed his eyes. He says, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? So the battle is of faith. Faith. So Paul said, we cast down imaginations. We pull down strongholds. We bring thoughts, he says, to the obedience of Christ. So in that warfare of light and darkness, in that battle for the triumph of God's light, we said the light is God's will, or God's will is the light. And the light is the knowledge of the gospel. The knowledge of the gospel. The light is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. Which is that this explains the war and the warfare of the Old Testament. So we are at war. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. Now I told you something. I said that ministry too, isn't it? In Ephesians chapter 6, four move there. In Ephesians chapter 6, you look at that again. And Paul described the wars or the warfare that he fought. Okay, look at 1 Timothy. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 12. What does it say? Fight, thank you. The good fight of what? Can we all read together? Want to go, church? Want to go? Fight the good fight of what? Read on. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Did you see that? It says you are called unto eternal life. Then it says you lay hold on it. And then it mentions what? It mentions what? You are what? A fight. I said, hallelujah. He mentions what? A fight. He mentions what? He mentions what? He mentions what? He mentions what? Someone say a fight. Someone say a fight. Someone say a warfare. Don't say a fight. Don't say a warfare. Don't say a fight. Don't say a warfare. Hallelujah. Raise your voice, say a fight. Raise your voice, say a warfare. Raise your voice, say a fight. Raise your voice, say a warfare. Hallelujah. You must learn to shout. Are we together? If you don't shout, you are cold. And when you are cold, you are useless. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You're lukewarm. Say, I'm not lukewarm. I'm not cold. I'm not just warm. I am hot. In the fight. In the warfare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. In verse 17, what does it say? It says, 2 Timothy 4:17. Are we together? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Hallelujah. That by me the preaching might be known. Did you see that? So there's a warfare. And then he says the preaching. We saw that last week, right? The preaching. Glory be to God. So our warfare is in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. That means there are oppositions to the preaching of the gospel. And you must recognize and appreciate them. But you must have a greater appreciation of the supply of God that has been given to you. Look at verse 7 of same 2 Timothy 4. And we read together. Want to go? Verse 7. Want to go? I have fought a what? A good fight. I have fought a what? Good fight. What did we read in 1 Timothy 6 12? Fight the good fight of faith. It says, I have fought. Look at that. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Then it says, you fight. In other words, this is not something, hallelujah, that has to do with your location or your time. It is a battle that every believer is in. Jude says in Jude verse 3, he says to contend earnestly. To contend earnestly. That means there's a contention before you. We together? Are we together? A contention. A fight. It is the weapon of our warfare. So there is a warfare. Hallelujah. Now let's look at something which we have already established. But let's just look again. Let's go over the activities of that strength again. Then we reach a conclusion. So I move forward. Are we together? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not starting in a progressive order. Just speaking those texts as we see them. 1 Corinthians 9. Everybody. Are we there? He says, let's read from verse 1. One to go. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not you my walk in the Lord? So what is the context? Ministry. So I'll say ministry. Verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. So Paul deals with ministry. He calls work in the Lord apostleship. My answer to them that examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas have not power to forbear walking? Who got a warfare anytime at his own charges? Look at what it does. He brings in warfare side by side. Are we together? This is ministry. So the work of the ministry is a warfare. You will be stupid not to recognize that. Every believer was born into it. Every believer. Are we together? So the hammer of God is because you're going to need it. The armor of God is because you're going to need it. Hallelujah. Now when you read armor and you read warfare, you know exactly what Paul is teaching from. Paul is teaching from David. And Goliath. Paul is teaching from David and Samuel. And Saul, rather. Are we together? Are we together? Who goes to what? A warfare at any time at his own charges. Who planted a vineyard? So these are illustrations. And he did not know the fruit thereof. Who feeds the flock, he did not know the meat of the flock. See, I these things as the man, or see, not the law also. Now if you read on, look at verse 15. Can we read together? But have you none of these things, neither have I written these things that they should be done also unto me? For it were better for me to die than that any man should make me my glory void. Verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, he says, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Verse 18. Well, then is my reward. It is verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So Paul is dealing with the preaching of the gospel, the ministry of the gospel. He's dealing with discipleship and the events and activities that discipleship involves in Christ. He's not just talking about going out and having platforms to preach alone. He talks about the entire involvement of the work of the ministry. Responsibility, care of the saints, care of the flock, the welfare of the flock, spiritual administrations, preaching, engagements, the entire life of commitments to the gospel. Hallelujah. Look at what it says in verse 22. So the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to them, to all men rather, that I might by all means save some. Verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Verse 24. Look at what he says now. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth, he says, for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by enemies, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? A castaway. Look at that. So when he says run and fight here, what was he referring to? His ministry. Then he says, I keep my body under. So he deals with discipline. That's what he's talking about here. Discipline. Are we together?
So we said part of the fight is a fight with my desires. Hallelujah. We said part of the fight is a fight with what?
My desires. Where I put them in check. Where I put them in check. Where I put them in check. Where do what? Or they put me in check. Are we together? Where I put them in check. A fight. So one of the New Testament fight is to fight my desires. Where I put them in check and they do not allow me to stray away from the ministry of the gospel. Are we together? Are we together? Away from the ministry of the gospel. So I put them in check. I put them in check. I put them in check. Desires. So I put them in check. So they do not lure me. Are we together? Away from fulfilling the plans of God for my life. A fight. Are we together, church? Someone say, a fight. Someone say, a fight. So, we spoke about desires. Isn't it? You know, we spoke about four things. Hallelujah. We spoke about desires. Hallelujah. We spoke about desires. And many times, they are not evil desires. But just like wine, when you are not careful, you're intoxicated. You do all sorts of stupid things. Man was never meant to be led by his desires. Are we together? Man was never meant to be led by his feelings. Man was created to be led of God. Hallelujah. So in the new creation, that order is brought back where the desires of God are now written in the heart of man. So man was created to be led passionately by the mission of God. We were created for his pleasure. To be led by the mission of God. Man was created to be led by the plans of God for the earth. That is why you look at a community where God is not known, you see chaos. You see darkness.
You see destruction. You see pride. You see wrath. You see anger. You see terror. Because man was never meant to serve any other thing but God. Hallelujah. Including his desires. Including how he feels. Including the desires of other people. Because sometimes it's not about your desire. Sometimes it's about the desires of other people. But man was not created to serve human desires. Man was created for a divine purpose. Hallelujah. So a man serving his purpose is one who is serving God's purpose. God's plans. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we see desires. What else do we see? We see afflictions. We see afflictions. Afflictions for the gospel's sake. Hallelujah. Affliction for the gospel's sake. A fight because of the gospel. We see Paul explain that in Philippians chapter 4. 1 Timothy 1:12. Are we together? I said, are we together? Even in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 2. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 like we read. James 4 verse 7. In 1 Peter 5 and 8. We saw an example of Paul in Acts 9 verse 22. Where he was resisted. And the Bible says he waxed strong. Fight. Number one, we said my fight is a fight against my what? My desires. Don't forget, right? In 2 Corinthians, we also saw that the fight is a fight against what? Ideologies of the world. Ideologies of this world. Ideologies of this world. Ideologies, worldly desires and affections, worldly knowledge. Worldly philosophies. Are we together? Thought patterns that hold men back away from salvation. We said becomes fight. The third thing we said is on the list of a fight in the New Testament is what? Is what? Afflictions. Persecutions for the gospel. Persecutions for the gospel. And number four, we said teachings that are contrary to the gospel, you know, in the name of Christ, which are not teachings of Christ, false doctrines. A fight. You find that in Jude verse 3. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul explains that false brethren brought in unawares to spread false doctrines. So that becomes the fight of the New Testament. Desires of self. Then, worldly affections, worldly desires, immorality, idolatry, wickedness, pride in the world. Are we together? Scientific knowledge that seeks to put away the knowledge of God, it says, becomes a fight. Thirdly, afflictions, oppositions to the message or the messenger. Because of the message, obviously. And fourthly, false teachings. Praise the Lord. So we said ministry is what we do. We're looking at the believer's authority. Ministry, therefore, becomes our warfare. In the work of the ministry, our warfare is defined by the work of the ministry. The ministry defines our warfare. Look at this. The work of the ministry defines what a victorious living and what a failed living is. The work of the ministry is what explains to us. The work of the ministry is what gives us discernment of a successful living or a failed life. The work of the ministry. The service of the Lord. Are we together? Money does not become a parameter. Material wealth is not what shows a successful life. Success in a field or your career. And it's good to have those things. Hallelujah. It's good. But you see, that is not the hallmark of success before God. It's not money, not material wealth. It's not even affluence or the number of people you have hailing you or in your camp. It's not fame, but ministry. The work of service. The work of soul winning and discipleship is the hallmark of what? Of success in the kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy 6, in 2 Timothy 4, we saw Paul, he says to fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold. So ministry is what explains that fight to us. Any pursuit outside the ministry, are we together? Is self-pursuit. Any pursuit outside the ministry is a personal pursuit. The ministry of Christ is the only assignment, mission, involvement on the earth that is on behalf of God. The work of souls is the only involvement on the earth that is on behalf of who? Of God. So a successful life to you and I is one that has served the Lord well in the ministry. A successful life to you and I is one that was buried in the service of the Lord. A life of success, an impactful life before God, is a life that has been sown as a seed on the soil of the work of the ministry. It does not matter your age or gender or race or culture or society or societal status. It does not matter the level of your of professionalism in any career of the world you are. What determines success before God of heaven and earth is what? How involved you are in the ministry of the gospel. That is what defines success to us. That is what defines failure to you and I. A life spent in the service of God. The Bible is very clear that we are in the world, but it says we are not of the world. That means our ideology is different from the ideologies of the world. Our thinking pattern, our perception, our mindfulness, our mission, our goal, our jubilations, our celebrations, our vision, our dreams, our goals, what success means to us. The areas where we seek to be impactful. The strength behind our living. The passion behind our existence. the drive of our activities, even when we are active in the world, the drive of our activities, the drive of our activities, the fuel, hallelujah, of our activities, the energy that drives us to walk, hallelujah, what defines success to us? Our ideology is from the kingdom and the world that we belong. It's from the world and the kingdom that we belong. 1 Peter 2 and 9. It says, we are a what? A chosen generation. A peculiar people. A royal priesthood. Hallelujah. It says, you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. It says that you should show forth. So this is the reason for your peculiarity. This is what you have been chosen to achieve. This is your priesthood. Your priesthood, your kingly service, hallelujah, is this. This is why you are a separate, a holy nation. It says that you should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To show forth the praises. Then it says in verse 10 that we are a people of God. To show forth the praises of God who had called us out of darkness into light. To show forth his praises. To make his work known. To magnify his Exodus and his Genesis. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So 1 Peter 2 and 9 means you have been chosen to fight his war. You have been chosen to push his cause. You have been chosen to serve his mission. You have been enlisted to fight his war. And we said, just like the Old Testament, God is in the midst of the what? Of the warfare. Hallelujah. That means alongside with my inheritance in Christ is a warfare. And that fight is by the Spirit. And the might is of God. So he says, be strong in the Lord. So Paul says, be strong. He says, fight. He says, I have fought the good fight. Then he says, you fight. James, Jude says to contend. Hallelujah. Peter says to resist. Are we together? Together. Then Paul says, God's power is at work in you. Say, God's power is at work in me. Say, God's power is at work in me. Say, God's power is at work in me. Say, God's might is in me to fight. Hallelujah. That's it. So we don't have a lost battle. Why? Because the strength of the Lord is within. The Lord himself is within, contending together with us. So Paul says, be strong. So as a minister of the gospel, it says, be strong. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, be strong. That means you are going to be strong in the midst of personal desires. You are going to make use of that strength. You are going to pull that strength on you in the midst of afflictions of this world. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. To set men free. Are we together? You are going to be strong in the midst of what? Ideologies of this world, rather. To set men free from it. It also means that you are going to be strong in the midst of persecutions. Hallelujah. In order to fulfill the mission. The believer has been enabled with strength. The believer has been supplied with strength. He will lay hold on that strength. Hallelujah. He will put strength within. He will put it upon him so that he can what? He can stand, hallelujah, and fulfill the will of the Father amidst afflictions. So that he can press in and set men free in the midst of ideologies of this world. So that he can put his desires in check in the midst of personal desires. And so that he can ensure the message becomes really loud and overcomes the voice of other messages, other ideas, other teachings in the midst of false teachings. What does it mean to be strong? To be strong means to be bold. To be strong means to be courageous. Hallelujah. To be strong means to not give up. To not give up. Why? Because ministry is what we do. The ministry is what we do. So you'll be strong. To be strong means to be bold. To be strong means to be courageous. To be strong means to never give up. So you cannot give up. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You do not give up. See, I do not give up. See, I do not give up. See, I do not give up. Hallelujah. Why? He says, God's might is at work in you. Hallelujah. He says, God's might is at work in you. So the demonstration of God's power is taught in the New Testament as what is at work in the believer to keep him going. Are we together, church? And dunamo means I will take hold of that power. How often? Always. I will take hold of that power as long as I have desires. Then I will continually need to take hold of that power to keep it in check. How often do I take hold of that power? As long as there are still afflictions in the world, I will learn to consistently take hold of the power to remain in the service of the Lord. Are we together? To press further in faithfulness. How often will I take hold of that power? As long as there are still ideologies in this world, as long as there are still false teachings and false religions, positions to the gospel as knowledge, ideologies, thought patterns, submissions, school of thought. Are we together? Are we together? Theories. I will consistently put on that armor of God, that strength of God to forge ahead and make the gospel louder. Hallelujah. How often do I need to put on that power? Do I need to put on that armor? I keep it on. I keep it on. Hallelujah. I keep the armor on. Say, I keep the armor on. There are ideologies in the world. As long as I have desires, as long as there are still false teachings and false teachers, as long as there are persecutions arising for the Lord's sake, I have to keep putting on the power of God. I have to keep putting on the power of God. God has strengthened us. Hallelujah. Amidst afflictions for the gospel. Amidst afflictions for the gospel. You look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And then in verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And then in verse 9. He says in verse 7. In verse 7. Now if you read from verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such and one caught up up to the third heaven. He said, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and had unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Verse 5. Of such and one one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. He says in verse 6, he says, for though I will desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me the seventh, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. It says that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, my strength is made perfect. The word strength there is the word dunamis. My power. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace. Grace there, he says, for my strength is made perfect. So the strength of God is the grace of God. The grace of God is his strength. God freely gives us strength when we need it. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? There's an inward working of God's mighty power that releases strength in the heart of the believing one when it is needed. You will learn to put that strength upon you and wage on with the warfare. Grace refers to a free, unbiased supply from the Lord. It says it is sufficient. The word arkeo, A-R-K-E-O, A-R-K-E-O, which means to be more than enough. That means there is a more than enough supply from God. There is a more than enough supply from God. There is a sufficiently sufficient supply. Are we together? From God's words. Are we together, church? It says, my strength is made perfect. Telios. Which actually says that perfect. That means my strength is perfected. My strength is revealed. My strength is known. The essence of my strength is fulfilled. The reason why my strength exists now shows up when there are limitations. Is that clear, church? The reasons why my strength is available at all is now seen in the midst of your challenges. So it's never a time to give up. There is no such time to throw in the towel. It says, it's perfected in weaknesses. It didn't say in your weakness. It says in weakness. In limitations at all. The word asthenia, A-S-T-H-E-N-E-I-A. A-S-T-H-E-N-E-I-A. It is used for sickness. It's used for infirmities. Is used for failures, but generally it refers to limitations where you have reached the limit of your strength. It says when you reach what looks like an end, when you encounter what looks like a challenge, when you are faced with what looks bigger than you, hallelujah. He says, what I supply now takes over. Ay, 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 hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He says, what I supply now does what? Now takes over. So we are not without supply. We are not on our own. Jehovah is on the battlefield with us. The mighty man of war is there. In the battlefield of life, is there. In the course of his mission, is there. to supply every needed thing. Are we together? By the Spirit that dwells in the believer. Is there? The essence of my supply is because of limitations. That's the specialty. Are we together? That's the specialty. That is his what? That is his specialty. That is his specialty. Say, I'm helped of God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm always helped of God. That is his specialty. That is his specialty. To shed light in all. That is his specialty. Hallelujah. That is his specialty. That is his specialty. To bring about restoration when all seems to be lost. Glory to God forevermore. By the inward working of his Spirit. By the inward working of the Spirit. The essence of my grace is limitations. Are we together? That is the target of my grace. So that you become unlimited, just like me. Are we together? So that you become unstoppable, just like me. Glory to God. So a working of his power in the believer to help the believing one overcome obstacles in the line of duty. In the line of duty. There is a miraculous working of God's power in the believer to help him to overcome obstacles. There is a miraculous working of God in the church to help the church to overcome obstacles. There is the supply of his grace to help in the time of need, to overcome obstacles in the line of duty. Obstacles from self, obstacles from afflictions, obstacles from contrary teachings, obstacles in the midst of false ideologies in the world. He says the strength of God is to keep you and I going. The strength of God is there to keep you and I productive. The strength of God is there to keep you and I abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Why does he say be steadfast? Because there is a supply. Hallelujah. See, I have God's supply to be steadfast. He says unmovable because there's a supply. Say, I have God's supply to remain unmovable, unbendable, unchallenged, undefatigued, unbattered, undisturbed, unlimited, unchecked, undaunted. Hallelujah. It says always abounding. That means you are always productive. Nothing checks your productivity. Hallelujah. Nothing holds your motion. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Say, nothing checks my motion. You have a forceful supply. A forceful supply. Are we together? I had a story by a man of God who was given a story or told a scenario
were involved in a kind of a project. Were involved in a kind of project. A building project and all. And they said that one of the machines, one of the tools that they had gotten, or the machines were, I think one of the tractors, or was it a tractor, or I think the graders of the road. They said suddenly entered, I think it rained. So it rained, and so the wheels of the machine were became stuck in the mud. So they tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. The more the driver, you know, revved the throttle, the deeper the wheels dug the mud. Are we together? So the more they try to move out from the mud, what happens? The more the machine stuck. Then they were there for hours, trying and trying and trying. Suddenly someone just, what are you doing? We're trying to pull out the, what's it called? The tractor, the tractor, I think it was the tractor, something like that. And I pull out the tractor from the soil. Say it's stuck. They had tried all that they could try. The thing went in deeper. That guy just said, I'm coming. Then we have one bulldozer somewhere. So the guy went, hallelujah, picked up the bulldozer, started the engine, and drove it forward. So, you know, the tractor they were using was, let's say it was standing this way, so the bulldozer was coming from behind. So that one had like an extension of its arm, a metal structure. You see, as the bulldozer just came, it just held on, hooked onto the tractor, and then pushed forward. No single delay. Are we together? No single delay. Hooked onto the tractor, pushed it forward. He said, he didn't even feel, the bulldozer did not even feel it was lifting anything. And that's what the supply of God does. You have tried all. You have tried all. You have tried. You have done all you need to do. You knew to do. You have tried different things. Hallelujah. But you have not tried the grace of God. Together. Are we together? It's that mighty strength by the Spirit that makes you unmovable. It makes you steadfast. It makes you to always abound in the work of the Lord. See, there is strength for me. Hallelujah. So he says to take advantage. To take advantage. See, I take advantage. Hallelujah. You can take advantage. Look at it. You can lay hold on the power bigger than you and put it to work. Are we together? It's like the enemies reach, when the enemies reach a military base and overpowered the military. They all knew today it was death. It is death rather. They overpowered the military base, came with all sorts of guns and rifles and barrels and chains of artillery, came with hillocks and all that, bulldozers at the military base, and overpowered the military base. So at that point, all that they were just doing, before they finish us, let's give them some work to do. You know, that's the spirit of a soldier. That before they, we know they will finish us. Before they finish us, I remember what my uncle used to tell me. It's no more now. He said, when we're on the battlefield, he had been to Sudan, Ethiopia, and many others, and all that. Liberia and all that. Was that Liberia or not? He said, when we are at the war front, he says, when he explained some, he said there are scenarios like that where you are not sure of anything again. He said, just accept that you are dead. He said, in those moments, the ideology is that these people are going to kill you, and all you owe them is one bullet. You understand what I'm saying? It says all you owe them is what? Two bullets. Do you know what that means? You know, when you owe something, what do? They pay you, right? He said what you owe them is what? He didn't say what they owe you. He says what you owe them is what? A single bullet. So once they give it to you, you are dead. A single bullet. He said, but before you get that one bullet, make sure you give them 10 each. That's the ideology. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's very terrible. He said, before they give you that one, make sure you send out what? 3 to each. So keep sending out that 3 to each till you get that one. So you decimate them. He said, one of those times, they were at where they felt that all was gone. He said, just within the tinkle of an eye, the airstrikes just came and gave them what looks like a deliverance. He said the Air Force just came without a decimated the enemies. All of their tanks, everything went down. What do you call that? That's called supply. Hallelujah. It is called what? Supply. It's supply. When you are plugged to something bigger than you, and that is the believer. The believer, hallelujah, I said hallelujah, has the inward working of a strength, of a power that is bigger than what anything in this world can bring his way. The same power that raised up Jesus from the dead, he says, is at work in him. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he says, is at work where? In the believer. And it's available for him to use. So there's a working of God's power in me today. The same power, greater than the power that brought forth the earth. Dynamic in its working. Are we together? And part of what that power does is to keep me what? Steady in the will of God. Look at me. That means, look at me. When a believer is steady in the midst of oppositions, that is miracle at work. That is the power of God at work. Are we together? That is what? That is the power of God at work. Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because there is a strength. Philippians 2:13, he says, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because there is a strength. Philippians 4:4,
He says, to rejoice forevermore in the midst of affliction and persecution. Paul writes to that church, he says, rejoice forevermore. Again, I say rejoice because there is a strength. So that part of what that strength does is that it is a strength of joy. You are being persecuted, yet you are happy and glad. Sorrow cannot take over. You are being afflicted, yet sorrow did not take over. You are being afflicted, yet depression did not take over. Why? Because you have learned to put on that supernatural supply, to take advantage of it. 2 Timothy 4:17 or 4:7. In 4:7 and 4:17, because there is strength. 1 Corinthians 15:58, because there is strength. It says, God's supply abound. God's supply abound. And what is that supply? In Joshua 1:8, the text we started with, Joshua 1:8, what is that supply? In Joshua 1, it says in verse 2, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give unto them, and to the children of Israel. It is every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. It says, as I said unto Moses. Hallelujah. As I said unto Moses. Look at what it says in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. So that supply is God himself. The presence of God himself. In Ephesians 1:17-19, the presence of God himself. In Ephesians 3:14-21, the presence of God himself, which is more than enough. We also have the promises of God. As I spoke unto, he said, as I was with Moses, I will be unto you. As I said unto Moses, I have given to you. The promises of God, the presence of God, the supply of God is his presence and his promise. His promise for you to know where you are going and what he's doing. His presence to strengthen you to get there. His promises for you to know where you are going. His presence to strengthen, to supply, to preserve, to keep, to excite you. Hallelujah. He says in 2 Timothy 4:13-17, he says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things to Christ that strengthens me. So the believer's authority is so that we will fulfill God's mission as he has ordained for us to do. He says, be courageous. That means there is never a time to complain. Rather than complain and grumble and murmur, he says, you will be courageous. To be courageous means to put your faith in action. Say, I put my faith in an endless action. Say, I put my faith. Say, I put my faith in endless action. It means let your faith prevail. Let your faith be perceived. Being strong in the Lord means faith in the Lord and his supply in action. Being strong in the Lord means I will put my faith to work. I will put my faith to work. It means I will be courageous. What does it mean to be courageous? It means to be active, nevertheless. It means to be active, nonetheless. It means to be active, in spite and despite. To be what? To be active in the faith. to put my faith to work means to act on what I believe always. To act on what I believe always. Hallelujah. It means to be active, not dormant. So there is never a time to be dormant. There is never a time to withdraw into the shell. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It means to refuse to negotiate defeat. I refuse to negotiate defeat. Hallelujah. It means to deploy the power of God and get to the end of things. To be courageous, to be strong means to keep the motion. See, I keep the motion. See, I keep the motion. Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I keep the motion. It means to keep the motion. It means to not reduce your tempo. It means to rev up. So there is never a time to reduce your speed. There is never a time to reduce your tempo. It means to keep moving. Hallelujah. Someone say, keep moving. Have you seen keep moving in the front of Central Bank? Keep moving. No waiting. Hallelujah. It means to be mission-minded. It means to take more mission-minded orientation. To take more mission-minded initiative. Something like that. More mission-minded initiatives. Hallelujah. It means to keep moving. It means to keep trusting. It means to keep believing. It means to keep walking. And now, even run, walk faster. It means to keep the motion, to keep walking and keep walking. It means to keep believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. To be courageous means to move on to higher things for the Lord. To attempt bigger things for the Lord. A drastic commitment to the Lord's work. To be courageous means to have a drastic commitment to the Lord's work. A never giving up attitude. A never die attitude. Why? Because I have the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because the power of God is at work in me. Why? Because the strength of God is at work in me. Hallelujah. An unsurmountable strength. A strength for all times. Glory to God forevermore. The believer was therefore born to dominate. To dominate afflictions for the gospel's sake. To dominate over contrary teachings, even in the name of the faith, which are not in the name of the faith. It means to dominate ideologies and thought patterns of this world that sets themselves up against God, against the knowledge of the Lord. It means to dominate personal desires. Look at this, the Lord promotes us. Hallelujah. A never die attitude. A never turning back attitude. A never giving up attitude. A lifelong duty attitude. A life mission attitude. So I said, the gospel, the ministry is what we do. So success for us is success in the ministry. Are we together, church? Success for us is that we win more souls and plant more churches and disciple more nations and raise more believers in the knowledge and the character of the Lord. That is success. That is success. That is success. And we do that everywhere, in every community, in every nation. That is success. That is success. That is success. Be courageous means allow the spirit of faith in action. The spirit of faith in action. Be courageous means to yield more to the spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. It means in times of challenges to persist. To persist. To not give in. To not give up. To yield more to the things of the Spirit of God. So when there are challenges, oh, it is also an opportunity to yield more to demonstrate God's power. Challenges, therefore, becomes opportunities to walk in the power of God. Afflictions, therefore, becomes opportunities to walk in the wisdom and the power of God. Obstacles, therefore, becomes opportunities to demonstrate the power of God. Strong desires in the natural becomes an opportunity to put the power of God in display. Encountering false teachings and false religions of the world becomes an avenue to display the almightiness of God. Are we together, church? Times of challenges becomes opportunities. So that is how we think. That is how I see. That is how I judge things, situations. Challenging times are opportunities. Hallelujah. To glorify the work of God in me. Oppositions and mockeries and afflictions and banterings and mockeries and resentments and persecutions becomes opportunities. So demonstrate the character and the strength of our Lord. Hallelujah. So the spirit in the believer is one that does not give up. The ingredients that the man in Christ was formed with are materials that stand the test of situations. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? The spirit in the believer is one that never gives in to obstacles. And that strength within every believer is because of the Father, the Spirit of God in us. Because God does not give up. His Spirit in us does not give up. It stays to the very end till the will of the Father is done. It hangs in there, hallelujah, triumphing and overcoming. The spirit of faith is the spirit for every situation. The believer, therefore, has faith for every situation. The believer is born ready. He's made fit for every time. He has the supply of God to challenge and successfully triumph over challenges. When challenges come, what do? I challenge challenges. Situations don't happen to me. I happen to it. Did you hear what I said? Situations don't what? I happen to it. You are dogged. Battle dressed. Filled with the Spirit. Every day. Someone say every day. Hallelujah. Someone say every day. Look at Ephesians 6. And I'll close there. I will pick one of those armor. As Paul explained it. Ephesians chapter 6. Glory to God forevermore. Look at what it says. Verse 10. Are you there? He says, finally, my brethren. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at what it says in 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? So the armor of God is to the end that you will stand. Is the end that you will what? Is the end that the believer does not come under. Say, I don't go under. To stand. Look at the verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Again, you see, stand. In the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Did you see that? Verse 14. Stand therefore. Are we together? Stand everybody. Stand everybody. Get up. Get up. Say, I stand. I remain fully fit. Never going under, ever ready, ever fit, ever exercised, ever motivated to go and stand. Hallelujah. I stand, I remain unchallenged in the name of the Lord Jesus. Say, I put on the armor of God that is in Christ Jesus, and I stand. Hallelujah. You know what it means to stand? It means something else did not stand at the end of the day. Sit down. Are we together? To stand means the other thing did what? Went down. Look at this. Well, as we read on, maybe next week, we're going to see this. You will take off, the shield wherewith you will quench the fiery dart. Are we together? That means by virtue of the instructions of the Lord, the work of the ministry, and by virtue of the world that we are born into, there are that implies arrows. Fiery means, a fiery means, they are fire. Like in the Old Testament wars, where you have, I think you call it arrow men or hatchers, something like that. You target a set of people, and then you put fire, flames, at the back of the sword, or at the tip of the sword, then, at the tip of the arrow, then you fire. So the arrow goes with the fire. So it says your desires are like those fiery arrows. Afflictions are like those fiery arrows. But it says the shield of faith, you will quench it. So the believer was made fit to quench contrary fires. No fire gets to you. Are you with me, church? It says fiery darts. That means there are arrows. You know, it's an arrow. If you're in Africa, you know arrow. Tibao. Are there arrows? There are arrows. There are arrows. Arrows are real, you know. But the arrows are your desires. Not one witch somewhere. Your own desires. The things you want to achieve. The things you want to achieve, they are the arrows. Cares not take it. But he says, you will quench it. He says, to stand. I need to close. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Say, I put it on. He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So even the devil is in the warfare. Then he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against which are wickedness in high places. That is italicized. He says in 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In the evil day. In the evil day. He says, and having done all, you remain. Stand therefore. So this is how you put on that armor. In verse 14. Having your loins girt about, hallelujah, with truth. Truth occurs in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 already. Are we together? Truth also occurs in Ephesians 4, I think 17, 18. He says, well, the truth is in Christ. He says, and having on the breastplate. Someone say breastplate. The breastplate of what? Of righteousness. Hallelujah. The breastplate of righteousness. We're going to see. We're going to explore that next week. And your feet shod. Your feet. Feet refers to activities. He says your activities is the preparation. Preparation. Hallelujah. The word from the word etoimazo, which we have seen in John 14. I go to prepare a place. From this text, it is etoimasia. It implies an internal readiness. So it's something happening in your heart. It says your activities is in an internal readiness to preach the gospel. It says in 16, the shield of faith. Then in 17, it says the helmet of salvation. What is helmet? Helmet is what you guard your head with. What is in your head? What is in your head? Your sight. Your perception, your vision, your hearing, that is what is in your head. So, what is the helmet of your salvation? What is the helmet of salvation? He speaks of the assurances that in salvation. In other words, what you have known in the world becomes helmets at the war. Your knowledge of the world. Then he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in the place of prayer. So there is never a time to stop evangelism. In the midst of personal grief and the loss of a loved one, Jesus told one of his disciples, he says, go and preach the gospel. Let the dead bury their dead. There is never a time to let go, to stop praying. There's never a time to stop being faithful. There is never a time to stop walking in the knowledge of the Word of God. There's never a time. There's never a time to put all that you have been taught away. Because of what? Is it because of a challenge? Or because of someone's misconduct? Is it because of a turbulent circumstance? Throw away all you've been learning in God's word. Never such time. There's never such a time, rather. The breastplate of righteousness speaks of who you are in Christ. So the weapon is to stand. Hallelujah. The spirit of faith. The weapon is to stand. That means to stay in the same place and not yield. To not yield to pressure. To not back down for opposition. Pressures from within, pressures from without. But you remain faithful. Look at what it says there. It says in Ephesians chapter 6. And then in verse 14. Stand therefore. It says having your loins girt. Hallelujah. Gird about with truth. So he uses the armor to explain Christian conduct. The word loins there is from the word osphus in the Greek. O-S-P-H-U-S. Osphus. And it is not literal. Just like the feet is not literal, and the sword is not literal, and the helmet is not literal, and the shield is not literal, but refers to the function of these virtues. He says, osphus, loins. He says, gat about. The word peruzozumni is the word P-E-R-I-Z-O-N-N-U-M-I. Perizonomi. P-E-R-I from the word perish, which means about. Then you have the word zone from the word zone. Zone, that is Z-O-N-N-U-M-I. Zonomi from the word zone, which means to what? To guard. Is used for something like a pocket. You know, when I was in the orientation camp, when I went to serve, there's this black purse that we put there. Many times you see it on ladies more. They put it there. And even, you know, so you a pocket where you put money. So something like that got you. Now you look at a military man. When a military man is dressed, you look at his loins. That's what we call a mascot in the military. When you wear that belt, but you also observe that along that same line, you see that belt is not just holding its structure. The belt is also holding some other things, like a shotgun, like a dagger. So something you guard yourself with. And what loins there was used many times. Look at me, church. For your mind. Your mind. So you are kitted, he says, in the mind. So the belt of truth is not referring to a belt here. Hallelujah. He's saying to guard your mind with the truth of the Word of God. You will guard your mind with the truth of the Word of God. Jesus used that word, perizonomai, in Luke's Gospel chapter 12, and then in verse 35. Luke chapter 12, and then in verse 35. Look at what Jesus said. He says, let your lights be gathered about, and your lights burning. And he wasn't talking about these loins, your sight. He's talking about your desires in your mind. He says, let your light burn. That means you are guarding something. You are guarding something. You are guarding something. He says, guard your loins. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let your loins be guarded about. Why? Look at what Jesus said. In verse 28, follow me. If God so then clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith. Faith is in the heart. Verse 29, Luke 12. And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Oh, the mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Wow. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. Observe, he did not use first here. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Verse 33. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be gathered about, and let your light burn in. Look at what it says in 36. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. He's talking about being alert, being guarded. In Acts 12 verse 8, it was used for readiness. Luke used it again in Acts chapter 12 and then in verse 8. How does he put it? He says, and the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind on thy sandals. It means be ready. Be ready. It's used for readiness. Jesus in Luke 12 used it for your desires. So when he says, your loins guard with truths, it means keep the word of God always on your mind. Keep the word of God always on your mind. Don't yield to pressure. That's what he's saying. Don't back down for opposition. In order not to go under, keep the word of God on your mind always. God's word on my mind is the armor of God. Be present in teaching meetings and don't miss services. Keep the word of God always on your mind. That is safety and wisdom. The wisdom of God is in his word. Hallelujah. The wisdom of God for battle readiness. The wisdom of God for a triumphant Christian living is God's word always on my mind. His counsel, his will, his instructions, his gospel. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, he says that you will be able to wage a good warfare. Keep on your mind the things that God has spoken to you through divinely orchestrated prophecies. Or through divinely inspired words by divinely orchestrated men. Your mind always filled. See, my mind always filled. Your mind always filled with the word of God on every issue. It's not a particular subject. On every issue. The whole counsel of God. Always on your heart. I must keep listening. I must keep listening. I must keep reading. I must keep thinking. I must keep hearing. the Word and on the Word. It's not a particular subject, but all of it. In Luke 12:35, he speaks of your desires. The way to be watchful of my desires, the way to be watchful of my desires is to keep the Word of God on my heart. The Word of God on my heart is the primary way to watch my desires. The primary way to watch my desires, to keep them in check, so that they don't lure me away from the plans of God. And when do they lure me away from the plan of God? The moment the voice of my desires becomes louder than the voice of God. The voice of the things that I want and how I want it and when I want it becomes louder than the voice of my pastor, than the voice of the teaching, than the voice of the MP3s, than the voice of your trading. The things that I want, the ways that I want it, the time that I want it becomes louder than simple supernatural instructions. There is trouble. That is what? That is arrow. That is an arrow already being fired at you. Are you receiving insights this morning? That's it. That is an arrow already being fired at you. The voice of gathering with the saints must always be louder than any other voice that seeks to make you to be alone. The voice of persecution must never be as loud as the voice of what? The supernatural assembly. When that happens, that is already an arrow being fired at you. You need a shield of faith. It says, be watchful with the truth. A position where I guard myself. A position where I am not careless. Hallelujah. We explore around this and others in our next meeting. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So what does that mean, church? It means you and I, we have the power to keep ungodly desires away from our heart. You have the power to keep thoughts of failure away. Say, I keep thoughts of failure away. You have the power to keep thoughts of quitting away. Say, I keep thoughts of quitting away. You have the power to keep lust and worldliness away from your heart. And he says, it is by keeping the Word of God on my heart. It is by keeping the Word of God on my heart. Hallelujah. There is a strength. There is a strength. It is called the believer's authority. And look at the church. The believer's authority, therefore, is for the believer not to be overcome as he takes a stand with the gospel of Christ. Overcome with what? Pay attention. With your desires. Overcome with what? Pay attention. Opposition that comes your way. Overcome with what? Words of people. Words of mockery. 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 Positions. Mockery. 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 Resentments. Resentments. Poisonous words. You have the power to put those words where they belong. So let me come to this church. That the opposition to the gospel is not a party. It is either in our conduct or in the preaching of the gospel. Paul mentions the shield of faith. We're going to explore that next week. It says to stop the fire that is already on. The fire that is already on of desires, of persecutions, of ideologies of the world that seeks to exalt themselves against the gospel, of false teachings. You quench it via faithfulness. Hallelujah. And Paul speaks, like I said, from the narrative of Old Testament warfare. Are we together, church? In the midst of oppositions, it is time to yield to the power of God. To win over my desires, it is time to yield to the power of God. To remain faithful amidst of afflictions, it is time to yield to the power of God. An opportunity to put the power of God in display when I come across contrary teachings and false doctrines. Hallelujah. The armor is the ability of God, and it is for the work of God. That also means that the knowledge of the gospel is for the gospel. The knowledge of the gospel is for the gospel. The knowledge of the ministry of the word is for the ministry of the word. The knowledge that comes to you from the word is for the ministry of the word. The armor of God is for the work of God. Not for your businesses. Not for your material, whatever. Not for fame in the world. Not for material pursuits. The armor of God is for the work of God. And that also means that there is therefore not anyone that we can call a weak Christian. There is no weak Christian. Hallelujah. There is no weak Christian. And you are not a weak Christian. Hallelujah. We only have Christians who have chosen to be weak. But there are no weak Christians. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is ability. There is ability. That armor is the ability of God received in the new birth. Are we together, church? You can stand therefore and be consistent and be persistent with the gospel. You can do it. You can be consistent and be persistent with the gospel. You can be. You have the authority of a believer over wrong desires. You also have the authority of the believer to never give up to oppositions, give in to oppositions. The armor is a kit for service. Hallelujah. So I put it to work. Say, I put it to work. Say, I put it to work. The power of God. The riches of the glories of His name and saints. And the exceeding greatness of His power. To us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from death. The armor of God is for God's message. Is it clear, church? What does that tell you and I as I close? That means, as I preach the gospel, hallelujah, I put my desires beside. Not left unattended to, but not the primary goal. Hallelujah. The primary goal will be others in the gospel. Others in the gospel. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Will be others in the gospel. That is the primary goal. And as I preach the gospel, I heal the sick. I cast out devils. I raise the dead. And I also take up serpents. So Paul is saying, that same power that heals the sick, that same power that casts out devils, is also available to make you and I to stand. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? That power that raises the dead is also available to keep our bodies under. That power is also available to make you and I to be consistent and to be persistent. Hallelujah. So when I'm persistent, I'm simply walking in the power of God. That same power that raises the dead and casts out devils, that same power is at work in the church today. Is at work in you and I. That is the same power that fuels my faithfulness. Hallelujah. Faithfulness to a cause that is not your own is not natural. Faithfulness that is to a cause that is not going to give you material benefits. That's what I mean. A cause whose end is not a joyful, a blissful, a lovely sweet cozy life. Are you faithful? That's in power that heals the sick and casts out them walks in me to keep me stable in the church. That's in power that got me saved, that got me redeemed from sin and death, is now at work in me to continue. So look at this, when we talk about salvation, salvation is receiving God's power. Are you with me, church? Are we together? The new birth, power is received. That power now keeps you walking, it keeps you moving, keeps you living, it powers the new life in Christ. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So we don't give in until the promised land is reached, until the promise of God is received. What is the promise of God? Nations of the earth in the gospel. Hallelujah. We keep going all over the city, place to place to preach. Keep going, city to city to preach, village to village to preach, campus to campus to preach, nations to nations to preach, countries to continent to continent to preach. Stick to the gospel. Amidst personal challenges, amidst personal, amidst opposition from people, words, or denials, or conduct. What looks like currents of waters of false teachings and religions of the world. We stick to the gospel and we make the gospel to stand. As we take a public stand with the gospel. Have we blessed this morning? Say, I walk in the power. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That same power makes me to stand. You will not go under. You will not go under. And God is bringing miracles your way. This month you are helped of God on all sides. On September, you are helped of God on all sides in the spiritual, in the natural. This month, you are helped of God. See, I am helped of God. See, I am helped of God. See, I am a man helped of God. The God has brought me thus far, He is taking me am a man. I am a man. Help of God. In the name of Jesus. I am a man. Help of God. Pray the Holy Ghost. There is no fear for you. There is no panic in your heart. Everything will go as planned. It will go as planned of God. Everything will happen according to what God has shown you. As you stay and remain steady and disciplined, everything that He has spoken to you will come to pass. Will come to pass in your family. Will come to pass in your business. Will come to pass in your academics. Will come to pass in your life. Will come to pass in your plans. It will come to pass. In the name of Jesus, I walk in that strength that is in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I walk in that mind that is in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I walk in that sight, in the sound that is in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and I stand. Pray the Holy Ghost.